Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we welcome to the program Arthur Millick, who is the Associate Director of the Simon Center for Principles and Politics at the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk specifically about the Constitution. Recently, we celebrated the annual time when we remember that it was signed September 17th, 1787, in the year of our Lord, as they put it in the original document. And some liberals, though, today think the Constitution is virtually obsolete, or that it ought to be scrapped and abandoned. It's just hopelessly out of date. And so we're going to focus on that. Arthur, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
What are your thoughts when you hear the statements along the lines of, well, the Constitution is written by a bunch of dead white guys and it's irrelevant to today?
It's propaganda. The left has been using these kinds of arguments for some time, at least since the 60s, at least those arguments that you just said. And maybe what would be helpful is if we just go through them very briefly to show how false they are.
Yes, go ahead.
So the first accusation is that the Constitution is a racist document. That's just not true, and I'll tell you why. First of all, in terms of how the Constitution is written, there is no mention of slaves. There are only persons. In other words, all of the founders understood that a human being was a human being, no matter what color. And by not calling them slaves, they implicitly denied the claim of the South that these human beings were property. So that's the first part. The second part
Wait,
is...
Wait, could I stop you for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay, in very original version, in order to have a compromise with the Southern states, the brilliant idea came from Roger Sherman, as I believe it, as I understand it, which was that, okay, look, the South wants to have these people as slaves. They're not free, but they want to count them as human beings so that they get more representation in Congress. That's not fair to the slaves, and it's not fair to the rest of us. And in the meantime, well, why don't we say all other persons will be counted as 3/5 for the sake of the representation number for how many members in Congress they'll get. I didn't explain that very well, but your comments on that. And by the way, all those provisions were completely made obsolete when the 13th and 14th Amendments were passed after the U.S. Civil War.
Yes, that latter part is correct. You're correct, and I think you summarized that well. I'm glad you bring this up. So why was there this famous 3/5 compromise wherein in the southern states slaves would be classified as worth 3/5 of a human being in terms of representation and taxation purposes? So let's talk about that. The first thing is that the South wanted them to be counted as one, and the North wanted them to be counted as 3/5. So the question is why? The Northerners wanted eventually, many of the founders talked about this, Franklin, Hamilton talked about this, they eventually wanted to choke out slavery. They wanted to make it obsolete in America. And one way to do that was to count slaves as 3/5. Why? Because it disincentivized the South to continue to accumulate slaves for political purposes. In other words, if you count them as one in terms of a vote, then why shouldn't the South accumulate them as much as possible to make their representation disproportionate? Moreover, during the time of the founding, black freed men were voting in 10 of the states. And in the North, at least 60,000 free men were voting. In other words, it was absolutely understood that they have rights, and that compromise came, while it's an ugly one, it came so that the Constitution would be signed and ratified, because without it, the South wouldn't do it. But its original purpose was to eventually choke out slavery by not allowing the South to have overmuch representation.
Mm-hmm. As constitutional attorney John Eidsmo, author of the book Christianity and the Constitution, he once told me in an interview, he said, look, we almost had the Civil War right there at the Constitutional Convention.
It's true. It's true. It didn't look like the South would sign on account of this.
As a matter of fact, of the 55 men that actually attended the conference or the Constitutional Convention, only 39 of them signed. And I know that in some cases it's just because they had to go back to work or whatever, go back to their farms, and it wasn't right. convenient for them to go back up on and sign on September 17th, 1787. But some of them chose not to sign, which means that they didn't agree with it, which is interesting. 39 out of 55, that isn't, you know, exactly 100%. It's certainly a majority, but it's not 100%.
That's true, but in the end, all of the states ratified it unanimously.
Right, right. And even Rhode Island didn't even send a delegate there, but they eventually ratified it. Okay, what else do liberals... Okay, I think we've addressed the issue of the Constitution is hopelessly racist. No, it's not. And by the way, the Constitution made provision within itself that future times they could revise it. And so if there were some bugs within it, those should be rectified. And, of course, in the case of the Civil War, it cost a lot of men's lives to take those bugs out, but they were taken out. Okay, what else about the Constitution that liberals don't like?
Yeah, so two things. So first of all, just to add one last piece to the question of slavery. When the Constitution was ratified, there's a clause there that in 1808, the slave trade will be shut down.
That's huge.
And on the first day that it was possible, which was exactly 20 years after ratification, on the first day that it was possible, Jefferson signed that into law. In other words, they all knew as well that by getting rid of the slave trade, that would be another step into finally crushing this phenomena in America.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, William Wilberforce, just real fast to interrupt you, but William Wilberforce, the great Christian abolitionist from England, he had a 50-year crusade against slavery. Step one was abolishing the slave trade, which was huge and very difficult to do. And then step two was getting all the slaves freed in the British Empire. And that, by the way, his lifelong crusade helped inspire the people against slavery here in America.
Yes, that's right. And one should never forget how many fervent abolitionists, especially Christians, there were during the time of the founding, who worked very hard to put this front and center in the public discourse. And look, it eventually turned into a civil war, but at the time and leading up to the Civil War, it didn't seem like there was any way other than that to get rid of slavery.
Yeah. Okay, so what else do liberals dislike about the Constitution?
Well, they claim, in addition to it being racist, they claim that it's a sexist document. They claim that only white males with property could vote. So let's talk about that. Let's attack that for a moment. The Constitution and the Declaration are gender-neutral documents. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is that they never talk about sex at all. They talk about human beings. So when the left today says, pardon me, when the left today says that women had less rights than men, well, does that mean that women are, for example, subject to arbitrary seizure or arbitrary arrest or arbitrary prosecution, or are ex post facto laws enforced on them only, or do they not have habeas rights? Of course they do. All of those rights that are ingrained in the Constitution clearly, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, apply to both men and women. So there's no doubt about that. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Moreover, during the time of the founding, in New Jersey, women were voting. And I think, as far as I know, that is the first recorded instance in history, as far as I know, that women were voting. So
I didn't even know that. You're saying in the state of New Jersey or just in certain parts? Or
in the state of New Jersey.
Women were voting.
Yes, they were. And the reason that few people know that is because the conversation has been so comprehensively taken over by the left through the doctrine, by perpetuating the doctrine that the founding is sexist, that has been forgotten. And it's absolutely true. There are plenty of records to indicate that.
You mean, so you're kidding me. So in New Jersey, women suffragettes or whatever, without the suffragettes, that women were voting even at the time of the establishment of the Constitution?
Yes.
I had no idea. And all through the 19th century then as well?
So it was not through the 19th century. In other states, they started voting in the 19th century. But in New Jersey, that was cut off, I believe, in 1807 because there was some massive voter fraud scandal. You know, I don't know exactly how they dealt with it, but the outcome was that women ceased to vote after 1807. But the point is that fact is so important because it clarifies that the founders, and during the time of the founding, there was no hostility towards this.
Yeah, that's a fantastic. That is new to me, and I study this stuff a lot. And by the way, in the fascinating series by Ken Burns, and I know he's liberal and so forth, but his series on prohibition, it showed you how those early suffragettes, a lot of it was related to the Christian Temperance League and so forth. There was, you know, a lot of those people. In fact, even to this day, the Susan B. Anthony Awards is a pro-life. It is a something that is Christian, pro-Christian, Susan B. Anthony. All those early leaders of the suffragette were of a Christian mindset as opposed to, you know, the liberal anti-God mindset.
That's exactly right.
And what else, lastly, do you want to close with as far as why do liberals dislike the Constitution, which is kind of like cutting off the limb that you're hanging on, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, lastly, I would just say this, that they hate constitutional politics, by which I mean this. They hate the messiness of the separation of powers. They hate the fact that if you have, as they do, moral principles that are absolutely non-negotiable, they want to impose them onto the generality of the public without going through the legitimate constitutional processes, without it being, for example, their desires being legislated by the national legislature, without a constitutional amendment. They find a moral non-negotiable, and then they go into the system and try to find the branch that will be the most sympathetic to them so that they can get their way. Because according to the left, to a very great extent, they don't trust in the good sense of the people. They need to impose new things, newly discovered moral principles onto the people. Gay marriage is just, you know, the newest and easiest example.
Abortion is another great one.
You got it.
Yeah.
And so that's why over the course of the past 50 years, the left has focused so much on the courts and why so many of their victories have come on the courts. Because the courts have been hijacked. They've placed their people on every level in the judiciary. And they wait for good outcomes that then for them, good outcomes for them, that will then be imposed onto the public. So they don't want to go through the normal constitutional process because they dislike it. That process was created so as to slow down and make more intelligible the people's desires. They want to circumvent it to have immediate successes for their new moral principles.
Yeah, you know what comes to mind when you're saying all these things? It reminds me of the title of one of the books. His name escapes me for the moment, but The Vision of the Anointed. Thomas Sowell.
Yeah.
That's it. The vision of the anointed. It's that idea. You know, we know better than you do, and we're going to impose it on you. So we're basically out of time, but Arthur Millick from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, for more information. People can read your articles there and more on the Constitution. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best to you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.